Welcome to Sideline Judgment. My name is Sergio.
My name is Tyler.
And this week we will be reviewing the craziness that was the national championship game between Alabama and Georgia, talking why and how in the world the Titans pulled off an upset in Kansas City. And we got to find out exactly what the Jaguars need to do in order to make it to Foxborough to play the Patriots in the AFC Championship game, which, let's face it, we think the Patriots are going to beat the Titans. But anyway, let's...
Spoiler,
that's for another time. We're going to go ahead and just dive off the diving board. We're going to jump into this Alabama 26, Georgia 23 in overtime to win the College Football Playoff National Championship. Don't tell UCF, but Alabama is the national champion for this past football season. Tyler, how do you feel? How does this make you feel?
I felt very, very stressed watching that game, because it was a tight game. So interesting thing about this game is that as great as the game was, and it was a great game, it's a classic, and I feel like that's gonna get lost a little bit because it'll go up as Nick Saban's like, oh, it's like his fifth or sixth title, like
his sixth.
Jeez.
Whatever. Yeah.
Fifth in Alabama.
He's got three more than the next highest active coach, which is Urban Meyer. Who's got three titles? Two at Florida, one at Ohio State.
Yeah, well, his fifth at Alabama. It's gonna go up as like, oh, it's like, you know, championship number six. Mm-hmm. You know, it's gonna the championship like six of like ten probably or something like that. But it was one of the all time great games. However, the weird thing is that like it really was not a good game in the first half.
No, this first half of this football game was very lackluster. I find myself. Wondering how good a game is determined on how often I check my phone. And in the first half, I was checking my phone every 5 minutes,
mm-hmm.
every 5-10 minutes, because it's just, nothing was happening. It was a defensive chess match. And honestly, that's not the most entertaining game.
It was typical SEC football.
It was typical. I feel like all the SEC haters had the ammunition to say, see, this is why we don't want two SEC teams in the title. It's boring football. It's all defensive. While they do have a point, Nick Saban decided to roll the dice and change things at halftime, and oh boy, did we get a change at halftime. Tyler, I have a question. Who was the starting quarterback for Alabama in this game?
Well, the starting quarterback was Jalen Hurts.
And who finished the game?
Tua Tagovailoa.
Yeah, first of all, congratulations for the pronunciation.
I feel like I'm going to be the one who has to talk about him all the time.
Well, I'm just going to say Tua.
I'm the only one who can say his last name.
Yeah. If you don't know, which I don't expect you to, Tua is a true freshman quarterback from the state of Hawaii. He went 14 for 24 for 166 yards and threw three touchdown passes. He did have an interception that I don't want to say wasn't his fault, but was more a great defensive play.
Actually, going back, Nick Saban did talk about it later.
Yeah.
In the post game, and it was his fault.
he was trying to throw the ball away. He underthrew it.
Yeah. Well, he checked into a running play, but the entire offense, 10 guys in the offense thought it was a running play, and the quarterback thought it was a passing play. So it didn't really work out. But yeah,
no,
go
not
on.
At all. Tua came in and from the get go was just immediately effective. Alabama was down.
13-0, and then 27.
And then they were down 20-7 in the third quarter, correct. Quick shout-out. Rodrigo Blankenship. My man can kick field goals. Goggles? That man can hit field goals. Hit a 41-yarder, a chip shot for 27, and then hit a 51-yarder in overtime. Congratulations.
Did you see his...
picture
his,
with Quavo?
Yeah.
Yes, I definitely did. Definitely saw his picture with Quavo. And he deserved it. He deserved all of it. Back to the game, though. Excuse me. I'm starting off getting sick, so forgive me if my nose is a little clogged and I have those moments. I apologize.
Well, I'll say one of the most interesting things about this game, to me, was that they put in Tua, and they eventually battled back from 13 down.
Right.
From 13 to 0, and then from 20 to 7. They battled back to tie it up at 20. They eventually go to overtime because Andy Papanastos cannot kick in clutch situations. Par for the course for Alabama kickers.
I just want to say, Eddie, I appreciate you coming to Florida. That's all I got
to
say.
You know what would be the funniest thing to me? I said this the moment that happened. I was like, if Alabama loses in overtime, it's going to be Jim McElwain's fault. Because yes. Eddie Pinheiro would not have missed that kick.
Yes, I completely agree.
Because it was... We're getting ahead of ourselves.
Yeah.
But one of my most interesting things is that Tua Tagovailoa comes in the offense,
mm-hmm.
and it completely changes.
Yeah, we're just for reference, we're going to skip that first half. It was all Georgia domination. In terms of Alabama, we're just going to jump straight into the second half.
Congrats to Georgia for playing a very competitive
game.
And
Jake Fromm had his day.
He had a good day.
Yeah, he had a decent
day. One of the most interesting things about this game to me was that it was a big freshman showcase, especially mm-hmm. in the second half on both sides. But there were a lot of still true freshman moments for both quarterbacks. Taking sacks they really shouldn't have. Throwing interceptions they really shouldn't have.
Right.
But a lot of just fantastic moments. But what was really interesting was that the offense entirely changed. They basically, I think what they did is they basically changed from a run-heavy, basically kind of like a wildcat offense with Jalen Hurts, to like this Mike Gundy air raid passing, like deep passing to everyone
offense. Yeah, they look more like Missouri than Alabama.
Yeah. And Alabama threw in a bunch of freshman receivers on top of with Calvin Ridley, which I believe was personally one. It was because of two things. One, because most of their receivers are freshmen.
Right.
But two, because Tua was running the second team offense for most of the year.
Yeah, he's
his chemistry is with the freshman wide receivers.
Yeah. Then that's a very underrated thing that people forget about Nick Saban, that he does think of that. You would think that, oh, throw the quarterback in with my best wide receivers. And yes, while that does make sense, you also have to remember that the chemistry, that kind of stuff is important in a team.
Yes.
So
especially with a passing game, because the reason that so many college teams are run-oriented as opposed to being pass-oriented is the fact that it does not take a lot of time to coordinate a run game.
Right.
It takes a lot of time and preparation to coordinate a passing offense, and when there's so much turnover in college football, it's just very hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very impressive what they were able to do.
Right.
Big congrats to Alabama staying in. Rodrigo Blankenship kicked that 51-yard field goal
to take
3-point lead in overtime. Then Alabama, Georgia sacks Tua.
Yeah, Tua takes a horrible sack.
It's 2nd and 26. It's 41 yards from the end zone. It's like Georgia had him. They had the game won because there was no way Andy Papanastas was going to make a kick if they got it. And then Tua throws a dime to Devontae Smith.
Which, fun fact, that's his only reception.
Really?
Yes, he had one reception, 41 yards, and a touchdown. The game winner.
Just for the game or for the whole
that's
year?
That's it. No, oh, for the game.
Okay.
I apologize, yeah. Because
that would have been crazy if it
would
have
been that would have been insane,
year.
Yeah, no.
Insane.
But for the
amazing.
I want to talk a bit about one of the most interesting subplots. Someone who loves his brother, as I do. Riley Ridley, 6 receptions for 82 yards, was the better Ridley sibling on the day.
Yes.
A player who hadn't gotten much playing time during the year really made his presence, had his presence felt. Another thing I want to talk about is kind of Georgia's straying from what got them there in not giving the ball off to Sony Michel and to Nick Chubb.
A bit.
In the right situations.
I don't think it was as much of a choke as people might think it is.
I don't think it's a choke. I just thought it was a bad.
Because Georgia moved the ball in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, though, that they should have given the ball more to Sony Michel as opposed to Nick Chubb.
Yeah.
He was clearly the better back.
Well, Sony had 14 touches for 98 yards.
Yep. Still haven't had the running back break over the 100-yard mark in a while.
Yep.
For against Alabama. We were so close. I mean, he had that 3rd and 20 run where he tiptoed the sideline, got like a first down, which should not have happened.
No.
Like, against any defense, that should not happen. Let alone Alabama's defense.
I mean, that's what happens when you got a player from Broward County. So.
No, shut up.
That's just me. That's just me plugging Sonia. That's my love for all things Broward County.
Whatever.
What else? Anything else that you want to talk about in terms of this game? I mean, the big thing was, okay, I do want to talk about Andy Papanastas.
Yes.
All right, Papanastas.
I believe I could be completely butchering it, but
you mentioned earlier. You said Eddie Pinheiro would not have missed that kick. Do you think Bama goes out and try? You think maybe Nick Saban was content with his kicker at the beginning of the season, and now that he saw this in a big time game, he goes, "Nah, forget it. I'm going to go after the best kicker available right now for the true signing game."
I mean, probably. I think that Saban's just cursed that
kickers,
with kickers. His kickers always miss in clutch situations.
I feel like when you sacrifice
getting all of these other outstanding players, you got to sacrifice somewhere, and mm-hmm. kickers.
It's
that
just the, you know, rules of life.
It's the rules of life.
But I mean, maybe he probably will, but I don't know. A kicker will probably just find its way to Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to go after number one kickers as much as you think. I think kicking is an extremely important part of the game, so I think it's something that coaches should put an emphasis on recruiting, and some do,
mm-hmm.
but you know, some don't, and it works out just fine.
I agree.
I have a question for you.
I have an answer for you.
Do you feel that you've been robbed? Because I feel that we've been robbed.
Now, why do you... Of what? Robbed of what?
We have been robbed of the Tua Tagovailoa to Calvin Ridley connection.
Oh my gosh, yes! Well, you texted me this yesterday.
We were
texting during the game.
I always felt that Calvin Ridley had to be the most underutilized star receiver of all time in college football.
Oh! Are you going to put him up there with Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry?
I'm sorry, but they were more utilized than... Like,
wow.
Like, yeah, they were underutilized, but look, I love Jalen Hurts as a player.
Right.
But... Alabama was essentially running a wildcat offense for the last 2 years.
Yep.
With the best wide receiver in college football. And his numbers, his freshman year, it's playing in a pro style with Jake Coker, who could throw a deep ball, just took off, and he was outstanding. And then they regressed heavily the next 2 years. He didn't crack 1,000 yards, I don't think, both of these two seasons, because he's in an offense that doesn't allow him to do that. And there's times early in the game where he's streaking down the sideline, wide open. And Jalen Hurts just couldn't hit him. And Tua Tagovailoa, as we saw, was just throwing dimes all the way downfield, darts across the field. And we did get one touchdown, which was weirdly, I think, was just a prayer. Because you actually watched the replay in slow motion. I'm pretty sure Tua was trying to throw to Najee Harris, who's well covered.
Yeah.
And Calvin Ridley just appeared.
That is a testament to Calvin Ridley's talent.
Yes.
And how good of a wide receiver, and how well aware of the space, how good his spatial awareness is, especially in the end zone. He makes that cut across in the back of the end zone, and to Tua's credit, he puts it in the only place that he could have put it.
Oh, it was a great throw regardless of the situation.
But it was, I think, more better a great run, busted play, not really busted play, but just a play fizzled out, go out there, get open for your quarterback. How we did it growing up as kids in the backyard kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, personally, I only say this because I feel that we as college football fans were robbed of the Tua Tagovailoa to Calvin Ridley connection, the Tua to Calvin Ridley.
Wow, man!
I feel bad. I feel like I missed something. Just like so those moments in college football where it's just you just missed it by that much.
Yeah, it's kind of like I feel like we were robbed of Antonio Callaway. Especially this past year.
Yeah, well, he did that. So
well, he did that too. He did that to himself, yes. But still, you know.
Yeah, basically.
You wonder.
Yeah, it makes you wonder. I will also heap. I will say, you know, I have my feelings against Georgia, that stem from my upbringing. But
wait, were you a Gator your whole life?
Yes.
What?
Both,
no.
Both,
what?
Both.
I didn't know. What?
Both.
No
my
way.
Parents. Both of my parents went to the University of Florida, and now I'm at the University of Florida.
Oh,
I think I do a pretty,
man, I didn't know that.
I think I do a pretty good job of hiding my bias, all things considered.
You do great.
But I will say, I was not rooting for Georgia, and I will give them a lot of credit, because Kirby Smart got closer than a lot of teams have ever gotten to Alabama.
And is probably the I think, over time... Kirby Smart will be the assistant, the former assistant that beats Saban. He will become the master.
He'll get there.
I think eventually he will get there.
Because I don't... Jake Fromm's going to get better.
Yeah.
Which
parentheses, I want to give you credit. I know you were about to say that. I want to give you credit, Tyler, for calling the Jacob Eason transfer to UW.
Months ago
on this very pod. You heard it here first.
I will say that it kind of doesn't make sense, in the sense that now that I've looked into it, it makes sense timing-wise, because by the time he's eligible, he'll have 2 years. Jacob Eason will have 2 years left. Jacob Browning will have just graduated.
Right.
But that'll Jake Browning. That'll mean that next year Washington has 4 top 100 QBs on their roster.
Someone's gonna
leave.
Well, I think, and just given the fact that Eason is gonna transfer, points to the points to the fact that he's going to have a spot. It's kind of like when Greer transferred to West Virginia. Mm-hmm. You knew that a quarterback of that talent is going to play football there when he's eligible.
Oh, yeah.
Especially because he's a hometown kid.
Because he'll only have two. Well, also, he'll be more experienced. He'll only have 2 years left.
Right.
Which he could theoretically probably only just leave after one. And then all the other quarterbacks will be freshmen. All the other top 100 QBs will be freshmen.
Listen, I think we're just questioning this because we're Florida and we don't have quarterback depth. So I think maybe that's a normal thing.
I don't know. You want as many quarterbacks on your roster as possible.
Yes.
Someone's going to get disappointed and they'll transfer in. They'll do what's best for them. But
yeah. That's the way the beast.
That's the way the cookie crumbles. But yeah, it just stars aligned and I was right. So
congratulations. So we were saying Jake Fromm is going to develop. He's going to get better.
Absolutely. Do you see how he holds the ball when he's throwing?
Oh my God! It's like I saw Shea Serrano, the great Shea Serrano, whom I adore and I love. Shea Serrano tweeted, "It's like watching. It's like someone doing a Rubik's cube at light speed."
Oh God! It looks just.
He didn't
like
use
that.
Those exact words, but he did mention.
I thought it looked like he like a video game thing where he's like loading and like the football.
Oh my
is just,
gosh! Yes.
It's like the throw is loading. He's processing.
Yes.
The throw, and then he just. First of all, NFL people are going to hate that because they hate everything. But
yeah, no. They're going to find something to pin him down on, but that's the way it goes. So.
But excellent job by that throw to Mecole Hardman to go up 20-7. That 80-yard touchdown was absolutely amazing.
Yes, I agree.
But, you know.
That's it. I mean, I think we're going to go ahead and move on. We got a lot more to cover this episode. Anything else you want to say about the game?
It was amazing, and we've been blessed to have three straight fantastic national championship games.
Yes, we have.
And that's awesome, and I can't wait. Season's over, I already can't wait for the next one.
Speaking of next season, Damian Harris has announced he will return.
It's just not fair. It's not even...
And who knows, maybe Jalen Hurts
moves to
running back. So
Damian Harris is their absolute best running back, and he's come back. This is ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Well, we're going to go ahead and move on. Congratulations to the Alabama Crimson Tide for Nick Saban's sixth national championship. Oh my gosh. How long until we get college football back?
Like 8 months.
Oh my gosh. Well,
we're going to have plenty of previews.
Listen, we're
going to
have plenty of previews.
I'm going to go crazy with how much free time I have.
We're going to have a couple pods dedicated specifically to college football over the coming months, so stay tuned. But we will be transitioning now and moving on to the NFL, the National Football League. The wild card round is officially in the books. Remember when I said we went 2 for 2 in our picks?
Yes.
We're going to go ahead and start our review. Let's go ahead and rapid fire these reviews. We got a lot to cover. Titans-Chiefs. The Titans beat the Chiefs 22-21 on the road. Mariota with the all-too-familiar... pass to yourself touchdown to spark the comeback to score 19 points in the second half.
Amazing.
They were down 21-3 at halftime, and they
wild,
came back.
Wild, wild.
Listen, Derrick Henry, 23 touches, 156 yards, and a touchdown. Alex Smith possibly played his last game in a Kansas City Chiefs uniform. 24 for 33, 264 yards, 2 touchdowns. What happened? What happened?
They stopped giving the ball to Kareem Hunt,
yeah.
The likely offensive rookie of the year, will, you know, only got 11 carries the whole game.
That to me blows
my mind. It's insane. Absolutely insane. And that was just, and also part of that is Travis Kelce went out.
When Kelce went out with a concussion, they were like, oh my God, what do we do? And panicked.
Well, that's the thing is that the Chiefs offense is very strange because it's such a big play offense.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so centered around their personnel. And when their personnel, one of their key components of their offense, Travis Kelce, is out, I think they overthought it.
Yeah.
And I just think that this was a real choke job by them.
Well,
which credit to the Titans, though. But
credit to the Titans, but at the same time, it is an Andy Reid playoff team.
Yeah, I guess.
How many times? He's 0-for-6 in home playoff games. 0-6.
Maybe he should be worse in the regular season, and that would help. They're so good in the regular season. I don't understand it.
Well, let's break off into another topic real quick. What does this do for Andy Reid's legacy? Because he is known as one of the, I believe, when he is coaching, he is one of the top five offensive coaches in this league. He's a top five coach in this league, I think.
I agree.
Regular season, though. What separates the greats from the really good is how they perform in the playoffs and how many championships they win. Andy Reid, six of the years that he's gone to the playoffs, has lost at home. You can't lose home playoff games. You can't never win a home playoff game. You went 0-6.
I think that's just a weird thing. Part of that is just bad luck, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, there's only six of them that exist, but
right.
I think really what it comes down to is I think he just overthinks things. I think it's a matter of when the game is just a game in the regular season, he's peak Andy Reid, mm-hmm. you know? Because he's just, I'm going to run my offense, I'm gonna be creative, which is what I do really well, and it's going to work. But when the game adds an extra meaning to it, and it's like, if we don't win this, we're going home, I just don't think it works.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I think he panics. And
clearly.
I mean, he's been to a Super Bowl and all, mm-hmm. but like, it's just, I think it's just, that's just who he is. And that really, I don't really think it doesn't change his legacy, it just cements it to me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he can change it very much. And I've heard some people saying that he might get fired for this, and I think that's a bit of a...
I think that's a stretch.
That's a be careful... If Kansas City were to do that, that's a be careful what you wish for kind of thing.
Yep.
Because it's nice to complain about losing in the first round of the playoffs when you're making the playoffs every year.
Right.
And trust me, we know this.
Well, they did make a change. They did fire their offensive coordinator, and they hired Eric Bieniemy, who has been the running backs coach.
Did they fire him? I thought he's the Bears head coach now.
That they fired him. Well, oh, no, you're right. No, you're completely right. They took...
Well, the point is he's not there anymore.
Right, no. They took... Nagy. They took Nagy.
Yeah.
Let's talk about another question about the Chiefs real quick. Tyler, I need you to put your Jacksonville Jaguars superfan hat on.
Oh, it's already on.
Okay. If Alex Smith appears to you in a trade package, or I don't know his contract situation, maybe a free agent. I think it might be a trade, though.
I think it's a free agent thing.
Okay. Would you?
Because he said before the season that he was his likely his last year in Kansas City.
Okay. Well, my point being, would you take Kirk Cousins, Alex Smith, or rather draft a quarterback?
Now, when you say draft, I'm assuming you mean a high draft point.
I mean trading for one of the better quarterbacks in this draft. A Darnold, Rosen, a Baker.
Ooh, that's
an
tough.
Allen.
I personally believe that the best strategy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna go one step further. I'm gonna rank these strategies.
Go ahead. Give them to me.
The best strategy to me is to get Alex Smith and draft a quarterback in like the second, third, maybe fourth, fifth round. In the mid rounds.
Okay.
Because Alex Smith, you know, he didn't have that much left on his career. But personally, I don't think Alex Smith was the reason they lost that game.
No, it was not. He with 24 for 33, 264, two touchdowns. He did what he was asked to do.
And I think Alex Smith would do wonderful in this offense.
Granted, he's 33. He'll be turning 34 this year.
Which, again, was signed to a small deal and draft a quarterback with that in mind.
Mm-hmm.
So that you can keep your quarterback. But you can get a quarterback that you can eventually develop. I think the second strategy would be to try and get Kirk Cousins, who's younger. But to me, I mean, I think he's good, but like Washington still went 7-9.
Mm-hmm.
And they still haven't really been great since he's been there. And I know a lot of that has to do with personnel and probably coaching.
Yeah.
But I'm getting a little like, I'm not fully on the Kirk Cousins bandwagon.
Okay.
I would be happy with Kirk Cousins. So
he is an improvement over Bortles.
Well, that's not hard, man. Yeah, like, but major improvement over Bortles.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that the second option is to get him and then also draft a quarterback. But maybe one, like, that's more of like a fifth, sixth round.
Okay.
Maybe fourth, fifth, sixth. Because at that point, you're getting Kirk Cousins. You're making an investment to get Kirk Cousins because he's at the age where if you're trying to get him at this point, you're trying to make an investment with him.
Right, right.
The third one would be to trade up to get a big quarterback. The only reason I say that's the third option is that this team is trying to win now. because this is a win now roster.
Yep.
I think my major point is that I think in all of these situations, we need to draft a quarterback at some point.
In this draft. Well, that makes two of us.
I have a lot of people that is like, no, this is a win now team. We shouldn't draft a quarterback at all. And I'm like, I'm sorry, you cannot fall in love with current success and forget about long-term potential.
Don't cloud your judgment.
You can't. There's no downside of getting a quarterback at some point in this draft.
Mm-hmm.
There could be a downside of spending a first-round pick on one if you whiff.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no downside to being getting a quarterback, because what do we have to lose? Our backup is like Chad Henne. I forgot how old he is, but
he's don't want to know about Chad Henne.
But
I know you know about him, but you don't want him as a starting quarterback.
I've seen him play. I don't want to see him.
He was the Dolphin starter for like 3 years.
I know
it's not happening.
I don't want it to happen, but and Bortles is clearly not the answer.
Nope.
They're going to keep him another year because they have the ability to.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he'd be a fine backup, but I do not think that there is any doubt. You need to get a quarterback. You need to think about your future.
Mm-hmm.
The freaking Patriots do it all the time, and they have Tom Brady.
Yep.
I would want Alex Smith.
That answers my question. Yeah, okay. We're going to move on from this Titans-Chiefs game. The Titans move on to play the Patriots. We will talk about that game in a minute. Let's go ahead and rapid fire move through these things. We both got early classes tomorrow. We got the Falcons beating the Rams on the road in not really a road game, 26-13. It kind of looked like, just to me personally, from the parts of this game I saw, just a young team without playoff experience.
I think that was a lot of it.
Yeah, the Falcons have been there before. Yeah,
and the Falcons and
this is pretty much the same team as last year.
Oh, it's almost entirely the
difference.
Same roster.
The difference is the offensive play call.
Yeah.
It's been and like Sarkeesian. You can tell, right? It's you can tell the difference, but like, still, you know, it's.
I think
it's
that
still
a
the
big,
same team.
A big thing is that like there were a bunch of punt turnovers, and those only 6 points really came out of those. So I'm not gonna stack that up. I think honestly, what it was is just that it wasn't turnovers. It wasn't anything. It was Atlanta's defense just lined up man-to-man against the Rams' offense, and they shut them down.
Yep, I agree.
And that was the kind of defense that was in the early part of the playoffs last year. They just shut those teams down.
Mm-hmm.
And Atlanta's offense was just enough. It worked just enough. It's been odd because it's just been missing what it had last year.
Uh-huh.
It had all the same pieces, which is why the Falcons are an odd succeed.
Right.
Because they are basically the same team as last year, except for they are just not on the same, don't have the same rhythm,
mm-hmm.
they don't have the same play calling, which is why they've been less consistent this year.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not as totally surprised that this happened.
Right.
And it, like the Rams had a great season and they made the playoffs, and yeah, they didn't win the game, but they made the playoffs, and that's a big deal,
mm-hmm.
given what happened the year before.
Yeah.
And I agree.
Yeah,
I think
they went 6-10 last year.
Yeah. I agree. I think it was just
playoff and experience. All right, so we're gonna go ahead and move that. The Falcons move on to play the Eagles in Philadelphia next week or this coming weekend. Let's move on to the Sunday games. All right, I feel like we're gonna spend some time here. Jacksonville 10, Buffalo 3. In the game that, in my opinion, confirms Jalen Ramsey is the best cornerback in the NFL.
Yeah, I was at the game, which was a wild atmosphere.
I could tell from the video.
Absolutely insane. And there was a lot of talk on Twitter before the game that Bills Mafia was going to show up. And, Bills Mafia had taken over the Jacksonville Landing. Which, first of all, nobody who lives in Jacksonville goes to the Jacksonville Landing. So
you can have that.
You can have that. Like, I live in Jacksonville. I've been there, like, 4 times. But they were talking about how it was going to be 50-50, and there were not a lot of Bills fans in that stadium.
From TV, it looked like there were a good amount.
I think the deal with that is that the Bills colors are brighter. They have a bright blue and a bright red.
Yeah.
And ours is black and teal. Ours blend together.
I see what you mean.
And also, it was relatively cold for Florida standards, so you're probably wearing black. Things. All our seats are teal. Mm-hmm. Our colors all just blend together.
Yeah.
But if you're there, there was way more Jacksonville.
Speaking of teal, kind of disappointed you didn't wear the teal uniforms.
I was kind of disappointed too. Hopefully, we get a chance to remedy that. But I had when I rewatched the highlights later, I had an issue with Tony Romo calling Jalen Ramsey future best cornerback in the league. I'm sorry, no,
it's not future. He is the best cornerback in the league. When you sign Bouye, arguably the best corner in the league last year, and you put him on opposite of Ramsey, and Ramsey's the one that shows up, I'm sorry, you've proven to me you're the best cornerback in the league.
Oh yeah,
sorry. Like that, there's
Ramsey's still number one.
Yeah, there's no debate. I'm sorry.
Our defense is for real, man, and it's amazing.
Defense is really good.
It's amazing. This game was sloppy, first of all,
mm-hmm.
Because Blake Bortles had a rough day.
Yeah.
You know who your leading
rusher was?
Blake Bortles. The leading rusher in the NFL, an NFL playoff games, was your Blake Bortles.
Not
the
mine.
Bortle Rocket.
Not the Bortle. Stop it. Continue. I'm ignoring that comment. Continue. I am not calling Blake Bortles the Bortle Rocket.
All right, fine.
No.
But he had that one really good drive.
Uh-huh.
His
only good drive.
Which really was all we needed.
Yeah. Well, we've said this time and time again. When you go up, it's very easy. It's very difficult for teams to come back on the Jaguars.
Yeah.
And when you scored that touchdown in the third quarter, that was it. When you were up 10-3, I said this game's over. I thought maybe Fournette would break one. And it'd be like 17-3 or maybe 13-3.
Yeah, I thought we'd score like one more time.
Yeah, I thought you would.
I wasn't surprised we didn't.
But I had a feeling the game was over. Also, another going back to the Ramsey thing. Ramsey swatting the ball out of what's his face?
It was Deontay Thompson.
When Ramsey that offensive pass interference call that pushed that saved you guys from instead of scoring a touchdown.
Calvin Benjamin,
yeah. I had him on fantasy team. I can't believe I forgot this. Ramsey swatting the ball out of Calvin Benjamin's hands and drawing an offensive pass interference call was to me the most important play of the game.
Oh yeah.
Not only that, but Bills, Buffalo. Unless you're the Patriots, run the football from the 1 yard line.
Yeah.
I don't understand it. I get it, LeSean McCoy's not 100%, but a 50% LeSean McCoy can pick up 1 yard.
Yeah. And
run the football. Did you not learn from the Seahawks when they lost Super Bowl? Run the football. At the one. It's first and goal. You had three timeouts. I don't understand. No, I'm mad.
You're very mad.
I'm mad. Run the football. I don't understand.
See what we did? We ran the football three times, and on fourth down, we faked running the football.
You hit the play action and hit the tight end over the seam, which is fine.
If you're gonna throw, one, fake like you're gonna run it.
Yes.
They're gonna believe that
correct.
You're gonna. Anyway. But
good God!
I mean,
Bills.
Buffalo didn't even score a touchdown.
Bills.
They only scored on a drive that was extended by a bunch of penalties.
Oh my gosh!
But
no, I got worked up over that. Oh my!
Yeah, I'm gonna let you cool off. If the Gators did that to me,
it'd be over.
Well, Tennessee tried doing that to us earlier in the season.
Okay, but this is Tennessee. I'm not holding an NFL franchise at the same standard as Tennessee.
Yeah, good point.
We know Tennessee is inept. We've known this. I'm not about to hold them to the same standards
as
the NFL
franchise. The
Bills
are a professional organization.
You're a professional organization. You can even run a Tyrod Taylor sneak. The Patriots do that with Tom Brady, and Tom Brady runs a 6.740. Come on! Run the football. That's all I gotta say. I'm done.
Anyway.
This episode's called Run the Football. That's it. All
right. Anyway.
Run the ball. God, Buffalo. I'm hot.
This game was rough, but my last part about this game was that it was so funny to me just because the way I've watched this team all year and the way I know our defense, the more and more time ticked off the clock, the less and less stressed I became. When it was about 4 minutes left, I was about, oh, we're winning this game.
Well, come on, you have the best.
Because then the reason is that then it becomes the Bills have to pass to win,
mm-hmm.
and the Bills' offense. They got a good amount of yards on us, but that was because they could run the ball but sneak the bootleg with Tyrod Taylor, and mm-hmm. he would throw in the run, and they were disguising things, and they could throw over the middle. I don't know why they kept trying to pass on our corners. Yeah, on our two all-pro corners.
I don't understand.
That's beyond me.
The Bills were clearly the worst team to make the playoffs this year.
Oh, clearly. Clearly. But I think the biggest thing...
They made the playoffs on an Andy Dalton throw. Come on.
Yes. But I think the more... When it became to the point where the Bills were going to have to pass to get down there to win, I was like, we're winning. like, we're going to force a turnover or something, which ended up happening. I actually got that interception on video.
Yeah, I saw
it. Because my dad told me to take a video of the stadium atmosphere on the fourth down, which they ended up converting.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'll take it again. And he's like, you don't have to. And then I was like, I'll just do it. And then that turned out to be the interception play.
Perfect.
It was wild. It was wild in that stadium.
All right, anything else you want to say before we move on? I got two things.
Go Jags, do ball till we die.
Okay, all right. Calm down, you Northern Floridian.
I'm sorry. Is your team in the playoffs?
No, but I reside in South Florida, so who's the real winner here?
we are in Northeast Florida
correct,
right now.
Correct.
We're in my neck of the woods.
This is Broward. You're in my apartment. This apartment is Broward.
This is Broward North.
Exactly. Two things. I hope Tyrod Taylor's okay. That was a horrible concussion hit that he had. Number two, Nathan Peterman.
I felt so bad.
This man threw an interception, scrambled for a first down on fourth down, but managed to fumble the ball. And
which they didn't call.
That's it.
I feel bad for him? Nathan Peterman is from Jacksonville. You know that, right?
I did not know that.
He went to Bartram High. My friend was high school teammates with him.
I did not know that.
Yeah. He had to go.
He's a rookie, right?
He's a rookie.
Where did he go to school?
He went to Tennessee, then he transferred to Pitt. He was the quarterback that beat Clemson last year.
That's the quarterback that beat Clemson?
Yes. Well, Matt Canada beat Clemson, and Nathan Peterman was just there.
Yeah.
But
Matt Canada is the architect.
But
which, shout out to Matt Canada, getting paid.
Getting paid to not work. because LSU's inept, yeah. But we're not going to talk about that.
No, that's another pod.
But, yeah, I felt so bad for Nathan Peterman. His hometown team, he has to go up against a stadium that is cheering for him to mess up, which he did, which was not totally on him. He did mistime the throw that.
I just thought it was the most.
I felt bad, but at the same time, we're going to the divisional round, so I could care. I couldn't.
Congratulations to your Jacksonville Jaguars. I told you I'm a Jags fan this postseason.
Thank you.
Last game of the wild card weekend. I'm gonna be 100% honest with you. I did not watch much of this game. I do not even know what I was doing.
I did.
I should have watched this game.
This was the most entertaining game.
I'm not gonna lie. I saw the first half. I did see the first half. Panthers 26, Saints 31. The Saints proving time and time and again that Alvin Kamara and Drew Brees and Michael Thompson are just too much.
Dude, they're gonna
for
win.
Anyone.
They're gonna win the Super Bowl.
Are you serious?
I picked them to win the Super Bowl.
Oh my gosh! Wow,
I'm doing it right now. Like,
Wow, hold on, red alert.
Hot take. They're gonna freaking win the Super Bowl.
This take is warm.
Like, mark it down. The Saints did the one thing that they the two things that are kind of one thing that they couldn't do for the last couple years. They found a way to run the football well, and they are able to play good enough defense. And on top of that, on top of being a great team with those two things and winning games simply because of those two aspects, even when you need to throw, you have Drew Brees and you have
Michael
Ted Ginn and Michael Thomas. Like, who is going to beat them?
So long as Ted Ginn doesn't drop the football, we're good.
Who's going to beat them? Like, unless they choke or, like, they just don't show up.
I don't see a defense. I'm with you there. I think this weekend, and we'll get into that in a second, against the Vikings is going to be a great test because the Vikings, by the way, side note, who's the Vikings cornerback? Xavier Rhodes. Sad moment for Florida when the top two corners in the league are Xavier Rhodes and Jalen Ramsey.
It's fine.
Give Florida State their moment.
Quantity over quality.
Wait, what? No, it's quality over quantity.
I'm joking.
I'm
joking.
Well,
we got Keanu Neal and Brian Poole who are balling on the Falcons. So
Brian Poole was undrafted. Shout out. Shame on all 32 teams.
All of them.
Except for the Falcons. No, even the Falcons. You should have drafted them.
Well, like that's why Maurice Jones-Drew. You know why Maurice Jones-Drew wore the number 32? Because 32 teams, including the Jacksonville Jaguars, passed on him in the first round.
I did not know that.
Yep, that's the reason he wore that number. Even the Jacksonville Jaguars passed on him in the first round. And he took that to heart. And
that's good.
We're getting off topic.
And we got a roll. We're at 40 minutes here. Okay. Okay, quick. We've already... I mean, first of all, the concussion protocol, I did see that...
that whole ordeal.
That whole ordeal. If you're going to... as a league, if you're going to tell me that you care about player safety, then do me the favor and actually care about player safety. Don't tell me that you're going to go over here and, oh, we're going to check them up and they're not going to be allowed in and they're not going to be doing this and that. No, I get it. If a player wants to go in, they're grown men and they can make their own decision and screw their life. But I want to see you signing the waiver on the sideline. Like, I want you to be absolved of all the stuff that you have to say.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I agree.
So, anything else on this Panthers-Saints game? Saints 31, Panthers 26?
Christian McCaffrey can run really fast.
Really fast.
But that's all other than, like, the Saints are really awesome. Mm-hmm. And the Panthers were okay. They were pretty good, but not good enough. That's all I got.
You
got
to be better. All right, we're going to move on to...
He's really general.
Probably my favorite... This is probably my favorite playoff weekend of every year. I love the divisional round. Because my voice got so soft, I don't know why.
Yeah.
I love the divisional round because you still get four playoff games. You get two on Saturday, two on Sunday, but you get the best teams playing, you know?
Yeah, this is like...
All right, let's jump right into this. Saturday, 4:35 p.m., Falcons-Eagles at the Link.
Falcons are going to win.
Okay, I'm not alone on this one?
Yeah, I know. Falcons are going
to
win.
I apologize to all of my Philadelphia Eagle friends. I apologize to Mo. I apologize to Toasty. I apologize to
Steven,
who's a friend of both of ours. But I just don't...
Steven's going to be pissed at us.
First of all, Nick Foles is not winning you a Super Bowl.
If Carson Wentz was on this, still was
time
still
out.
Healthy.
If Carson Wentz was healthy, I'm picking the Eagles to win the Super Bowl.
Oh yeah, me too. I would as well.
Let's clarify things right here.
Oh, they win
I'm
this
not,
game by three touchdowns.
I am not challenging the Eagles defense. I am not challenging any other skill player on the Eagles roster. My sole concern is quarterback play. And at this stage in the season, quarterback play is the most important play. That and your defensive front. But
and the thing with that, Matt Ryan is a better quarterback than Nick Foles. And that is just
day
a fact.
100%.
Reigning league MVP.
100%. You have a healthy Devontae Freeman. You have a healthy Tevin Coleman. You have a healthy Julio. A healthy Mohamed Sanu. Matt Ryan doing his thing. We just talked about our two Gators in the secondary for the Falcons.
Falcons' defense.
Keanu Neal is my favorite Gators player, period. So
he's a great guy.
Let's set that up right there. Kiki's my favorite Gator. Second of all, this team has been there. This has all the makings of a sixth seed winning the Super Bowl. I'm not saying it'll happen, but yeah. It looks like it can.
I mean, if there was a team that could do it, it would be this one.
I agree.
Of all the six seeds.
Yeah.
My other thing is that, like, the Falcons' defense is better than it was last year.
Right.
And last year
they
went to the Super Bowl. And that was mostly on the hands of their offense, which their defense at the time was just a defense that was meant to play with the lead.
Right.
But now it's just a good defense,
mm-hmm.
And I think they're gonna beat the Eagles.
Yeah, Dan Quinn's influence on that defense is unmatched, and you can see it. I think Vegas agrees with us. They have Atlanta as a 3-point favorite, which is crazy. I've never seen that.
That's never happened. A one seed has never been the underdog in the divisional round. It's a very specific set of circumstances.
I agree.
Yeah. But yeah, Falcons are going to win.
We're going to pick Falcons?
Yes.
We're picking the Falcons. 8:15. Okay. Listen, we really don't need to spend more than a minute and a half on this game. Titans, 8:15 on CB. Oh, by the way, that Falcons-Eagles game is on NBC, so we're going to get...
Here's a guy.
Here's a guy that I just love.
Notable Gator alum,
yeah,
Chris Collinsworth.
Chris Collinsworth is one of the most recognizable, one of my favorite, now that John Gruden has accepted the Oakland Raiders job, may his broadcasting career rest in peace. Chris Collinsworth is my favorite. Because, I mean, we're not going to get, now look at this guy. He's going to run a spider 2-wide banana thread with an option on the 44G. You see how he does that? I love this guy. Can you believe it? We're not going to get any more of that. But we are going to get the... Now, look at this guy. Here's a guy who...
anyway,
so it's on NBC at 4:35. 8:15 on CBS, Titans and Patriots. Can you guess the line on this? Give me a guess.
6.5 for the Patriots.
Double it.
It's 12.
It's 13.5.
13.5. That's insane.
That's the highest line.
That's downright disrespectful to any NFL team.
But is it, though? Because it's the Titans.
I know it's the Titans, but, like, I'm sorry, that's just, that's so,
it is,
that's
it
such
is.
A big line.
But here's the thing, probably I, think gonna they, I think they cover, I think the Patriots cover.
Yeah.
I think it's just that, a 34-10
the thing is that,
game.
That line is begging you to take the, is begging you to take the Titans.
Oh yeah, Vegas is saying we need people to take the Titans.
Yeah, but I think the Patriots will blow them out.
Easy.
Perfect. I wish they won't because... Because the Titans
I want win. A good game.
Because the Titans win.
Oh, wait, we're getting there. Yeah,
but,
I'll bring that up at the end of...
We'll talk about it later.
We'll get there. Moving on to Sunday, 1:05 p.m., the Jaguars and the Steelers. Guess the line.
We are, I believe, field goal... No, we started as 7-point underdogs. And I think we're field goal underdogs now.
No, it went up 7.5.
7.5, okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
So you're still 7.5.
It's not terrible.
It's not horrible.
Because if you watched both sides of the team yesterday, it's like, oh.
Yeah.
It'll be competitive.
Yes,
but
exactly.
That's how the objective casual observer would
Tyler,
be.
do you know when the last time, just give me the year. Do you know the last time a team beat the Steelers twice on the road? What year was it?
In Pittsburgh?
Yeah, what year was it?
2007.
Do you know what team that was?
It was the 2007 Jaguars.
Do you know in what round the Jaguars were eliminated that year?
The divisional.
No, in the championship.
No, because we played.
Oh, because you're right. No, you're right.
I tried.
I saw the stat 2 days ago, and I really wanted to bring it up. Jaguars 7.5-point underdogs against the Steelers. Listen. This is, to me, the hardest game to pick this week.
I want you to go first on this one.
All right,
because I got thoughts.
Listen, okay, I'm gonna give you two options. The Jaguars win if they score in the first half. If they have a lead at halftime, the Jaguars win. If the Steelers have the lead at halftime, the Steelers win. With that being said, I'm gonna take the Steelers because I think Juju is peaking at the right moment. I think Big Ben will have learned from his mistakes from earlier in the year. Don't give me that face. You just gave me a horrible face. Don't give me that face, Tyler.
Okay, all right.
This is Big Ben Roethlisberger. I know he's not a top three quarterback.
It's five interception.
I understand. I understand. But I'm still gonna try it.
I'm just being.
I know.
I'm presenting facts.
I'm fully aware.
Like Bortles has never thrown five interceptions in a game. Go ahead. He wants to be the first quarterback ever to throw five interceptions in two games in one season.
Tyler, this is the hardest game to pick, I think, of the entire season.
Yeah, probably.
This is the hardest.
The reason this is hard is because these teams have already played.
And the Jags dominated.
But the thing is, it's the way we beat them is not completely convincing.
Exactly, because
it was mostly defense. And
there
it was good running, right? Two pick sixes and two touchdown runs. One was set up by a turnover, and the other one was a 90-yard one because we just...
The Fournette one that he broke off.
Fournette just blew past.
Yeah,
because
I made a trade for him in week four, and I was very happy when he made that run. I remember that.
It was very nice.
You know what, Tyler? I'm going to take the Jags.
Well,
we don't curse on this pod, so I can't say everything that I want to say, but screw it. I'm going to pick the Jags.
This is going to make me feel awful. Because
you're gonna pick the Steelers with your head, obviously. You hope
I'm gonna be objective, and I'm gonna be objective, and I'm gonna pick the Steelers, and I'm gonna explain why.
Do it, please.
You best believe I'm gonna throw on my Blake Bortles jersey because it's the last time I'll probably ever.
Timeout.
Hey,
I still can't believe you own a Blake Bortles jersey.
I did not buy it.
Who bought it for you?
My parents.
I'm disappointed.
I asked for an Allen Robinson jersey, and they got me a Blake Bortles jersey because it's way cheaper. And
so
I understand
basically
that.
You're saying your parents hate you.
Mom, Dad, I'm not saying that. Sergio is saying that. But moving on. Hey, I've worn it the last three home games I've been to. We won all of them.
Hey, I know.
Give me credit. And honestly, I mean, never get to wear it again if I don't wear it in this game.
That's very true.
I gotta make use out of this clothing.
You gotta make use out of it.
Anyway.
If you guys win the Super Bowl, you should buy a teal...
My dad has a teal Bortles jersey. Our neighbor works for Fanatics, and so we get discount stuff.
You need to give me your neighbor's phone number after the pod.
So this is really tough for me because you best believe that I'm gonna be rooting for my Jets.
Of course.
But I was at that game and I watched that offense, and it wasn't necessarily the play calling that was the issue, but I think this will be a low scoring game because as great as the Steelers' offense is, Antonio Brown is not fully healthy. I don't care what they say; he's not fully healthy.
But Juju is.
Yeah, I know, but we shut them both down.
Okay, but but Juju Smith in Week 5 is different than Juju Smith now.
Yes,
this
defense is still just as good, if not better.
It is better. It's better.
We didn't have Marcell Dareus back then.
Oh my gosh!
And the only reason the Steelers lost is because
that trade was made in like Week 9.
It's because they did not run the football. And then they threw too many interceptions early, so they had to start.
So you think they're gonna just give it to Le'Veon to start?
Well, that's gonna be part of the game plan. Running the ball works on this defense. The thing is, in today's NFL, if it's okay to give up rushing yards if you're a really good pass defense and you're a good red zone defense. You know?
Say that again. It's okay to give up.
There's statistics. Like, the Browns have, like, one of the best rushing defenses in the NFL. Like, a bunch of the teams with the best rushing defenses have losing records. And a bunch of the teams with the worst rushing defenses are playoff teams.
Okay.
It's...
Basically,
when you're building an NFL defense, it is more important to set the pass than the run. Okay. It's more important to stop the pass than the run.
Which is very different because traditionally you think build from the ball out.
Yeah, but that's part of the thing with the NFL. You get so much more time to coordinate passing offenses and with the quarterbacks. So like it's more if you can shut down the pass, there's just not that much you can do. I'm getting off topic.
Let's continue.
But my point here,
we're at 52 minutes.
My point here is that I think this is going to be a close game. But not only is Blake Bortles struggling. He's really struggling. And it's not play calling. It's just
Blake
him.
Bortles ran for 88 yards last week and threw for 87.
Yeah,
that's bad.
I know. But the big thing is that the offensive line is not playing well. They're not. They're playing fine in pass protection, but in running the ball...
The Jags or the Steelers?
The Jags.
Okay.
But they're not opening up the holes they were earlier in the season. A lot of that has to do with injuries. But they're not creating the holes for Leonard Fournette as much as possible. And I think that the running game just didn't really get going against the Bills. And I think the Bills just stacked the box and were like, they dared Blake Bortles to beat them and save for one drive. He couldn't. And maybe if he shows up and has a Seahawks game, this is different. But this game was going to be very close. And as much as we did win it, defense winning a game like that is an anomaly.
Yeah.
It's
definitely the exception. It's not
with my head. I have to take the Steelers. With my heart, I'm Duval till I die, and I'm gonna.
All right, I respect that.
I think just with how much the offense struggled on all phases last week. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I respect that. Last game of the day of the weekend is going to be at 4:40. Fox Saint on Fox. Oh, by the way, that Jack Steelers game is going to be on CBS. So looks like we're getting Tony Romo for another week. Which, by the way, Tony Romo broadcasting is one of the greatest things that happened to him because I feel like his legacy was always he choked, he couldn't win playoff games, blah blah blah. And now everyone's just like, look at Tony Romo go, that happy guy.
Yeah, everybody loves him now.
Everyone loves him, calling out plays before they happen. He's a great analyst. I love him. I think he's going to be. We're going to tell our kids are going to know Tony Romo as the analyst, and we're going to be telling our kids, yeah, but he was a pretty good quarterback too.
Yeah.
So, anyway, moving forward. 4:40 p.m. on Fox in Minneapolis. It is the Saints against the Vikings. Guess that line, Tyler. Guess that money line.
I think the Vikings are a field goal favorite.
4.5. Very close.
Oh, I was close.
Very close. Very close.
This is tough.
I got my pick. And it's for the same reasons that you described the wild card game.
The Saints are going to win.
I think
it'll be close.
Because I think it will be close. It's because Kamara is going to do Kamara things. By the way, also, timeout. Everyone's saying Kamara. It's Kamara.
Yeah.
Kamara. We're good? We're good.
Yeah,
we're on the same page. Kamara's going to do his thing.
Mark Ingram.
Drew Brees is going to do his thing. Mark Ingram is quietly having one of the best seasons of his career. He is once again, I think for the third or fourth straight season, rushed over 1,000 yards. The Saints have 2,000-yard rushers.
Yeah, it's crazy. And their defense is adequate. It's pretty good.
Jeez, man. I think they win.
I think they win, too.
And I respect that Vikings defense. I think they're a top-10 defense. They're a very good defensive team. But at the same time, and I do respect Case Keenum, who's having a great second half of the year.
But, I do, but in the playoffs, you got to take the better quarterback.
I agree. It doesn't always work out,
but you got to take the better quarterback, and I think that's Drew Brees.
Reigning Walter Payton Man of the Year, Drew Brees. I only remember that because he has the logo on his jersey. He's had it the whole year. And I was like, oh, is he the team nominee this year? And I realized, oh, no, he won it last year. I'm going to pick the Saints over the Vikings. Now, with that being said, let's go back to that quarterback discussion we had about Alex Smith. The Vikings on their roster have Case Keenum, Teddy Bridgewater, and Sam Bradford. Tyler, who do you think leaves of those three? Because I'm convinced one of those three is gone after this season. And as a Jacksonville Jaguar, who would you take?
Bradford's gone after the season.
You think it's Bradford?
It's Bradford.
Okay.
He was pretty good when he was healthy. But Case Keenum is playing better than Bradford was.
Right.
And I believe his age. But
we remember that 2 years ago, Teddy Bridgewater revived that team.
Yeah, and which is why I think they're going to keep Bridgewater because he's still got years.
And do you think he starts next year?
I think it's going to be a true offseason battle.
Okay.
Probably one of the best, because
sometimes we have quarterback battles in the offseason and the preseason, and we kind of know who's going to be the quarterback, or both of them are so bad that we have zero idea. In this case, we got two good quarterbacks. I think Bridgewater's a better player, period. Keenum, you can't doubt what Keenum's done, and Keenum's going to get the start.
And
so
he's actually had like a really good year.
He's had a great year. It's not just been like
they're winning on defense and running
the
ball.
No, yeah.
Like, he's really not good.
He's not being a game manager. He's being an actual decent quarterback. Yeah, he's playing well. So you think Bradford leaves of those three? Objectively, like take the Jags out.
I think Bradford is
going to leave. Okay, now, with that being said, would you take Bradford? And I think he's still under contract, tough. So it'll be a trade. I mean, actually, let me check Sam Bradford's contract.
That's so tough. I would want Bridgewater or Case Keenum. I'd want Bridgewater.
I know that.
But they wouldn't give him up for free. Well, they wouldn't give anybody up for free. I think Bradford's gonna be the one who leaves. I don't know their deep contracts.
Oh, Bradford's definitely leaving. He's an unrestricted free agent.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I think Case Keenum's on like a 2-year deal, right, or something like that.
I'll tell you right now.
But I think it'd be picks.
Case Keenum's an unrestricted free agent.
Oh, well, if they're both unrestricted free agents, I'd like to sign Case Keenum. It goes Alex Smith.
He's only a year younger.
Alex Smith, Kirk Cousins, Case Keenum.
He's only a year younger, I'd like to remind you.
Than Sam Bradford?
Yeah. Bradford's 30.
He's 29?
Bradford's 30. Keenum is... Bradford's 30, Keenum is 29, and Teddy Bridgewater's 26.
I'd rather sign Case Keenum than Sam Bradford. I would not want to trade for Sam Bradford unless it was very little.
You know who else is an unrestricted free agent? Teddy Bridgewater.
Oh,
all
my
three are
God.
Unrestricted free agents.
They're going to have to make some choices. We're going to sign one of them.
Oh, no, I'm... No.
Are you giving me false information?
Well, no, 2017, this year... He was drafted.
If they didn't take his 5th-year option, he's an unrestricted free agent.
Signed a 4-year deal. No, yeah. Free agent 2018, unrestricted free agent. Yeah.
Wow. This is going to be crazy.
5th-year option available.
We're gonna come
back. His 5th-year option is still available. That's
okay, so they haven't selected it yet.
So they will probably pick
it.
Up his option.
So Bridgewater's pretty much off the table.
Yeah. Bridgewater's pretty much off the table.
I would sign Case Keenum so fast. And again, also draft a quarterback.
Sign a quarterback, draft a quarterback. Actually, as a Dolphin fan, I'm looking at this here. Yeah, Case Keenum is for sure.
You back off.
Listen, Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield.
Okay.
Baker Mayfield. Cool.
Okay, cool. Mason Rudolph. He's pretty good, too.
Mason Rudolph. I would take Mason Rudolph in a second or third round.
Which is reasonable. The thing with Mason Rudolph is that...
That's the Oklahoma State quarterback.
Yeah,
the Tyler's aficionado.
I love him so much.
Yeah.
But I think that the big thing that Mason Rudolph has over other quarterbacks is that he's a senior. He started for like 4 years. He started since his freshman year.
Yeah.
He started like halfway through, so like he's got experience.
Mm-hmm. And
but
Bradford
has the wins and the yards and the accomplishments to show for it.
Right.
But. We're getting off topic there.
We are. We have a draft show.
I would not give up much for Sam Bradford.
Well, you don't have to give anything up because he's an unrestricted free agent.
Okay, well then I would.
All three are unrestricted free agents. Bridgewater has a fifth-year option, which they will probably accept, and then maybe try to work a new contract. And then you got Keenum and Bradford.
We need to pay a lot because the Vikings are probably going to pay a lot to keep Case Keenum.
Yeah, they're going to try to do that. All right, so we picked the Saints. So the sideline judgments. Official position is Falcons over the Eagles. Sorry, Steven. Patriots over the Titans. Duh. Sergio has the Jaguars. Tyler has the Steelers, but with the Jaguars at heart. And the Saints over the Vikings. We will see how that goes. With that being said, Tyler, I think that's it, my man. I think that's all we talk about today. Anything else you got to say?
Talk about? No, not really. Mm-hmm. I mean, congrats to your great college football season.
Yeah, we're gonna a little applause there for you.
Take a bow, college.
Take
football.
A bow. We had a great season. Always exciting. Dan Mullen, we believe in you.
Doing work.
We will be having for sure a UF spring game. Episode
where we will
be in attendance. We will preview the spring game,
and then we will review
the spring game because that's what we do here.
Because hashtag content.
So let me write down episodes instead of episode, and then we'll talk about the gate when, and then after National Signing Day, we'll have a National Signing Day episode where we talk about the Gators' full class. We can
really evaluate all the classes.
Yeah, and
You think we finish with like a top 10 class? Early predictions?
No.
No.
That's all I got to say. I think we'll be 10 to 20 range, but I don't think we'll be a top 10 class.
I think we can do it.
All right, well,
it'd be low 10s, but we'd have to flip a couple people.
Exactly. And this early signing period doesn't help in terms of, in that sense, but
yeah.
It helps in other senses, but like landing Emory Jones. Welcome to the Gator Nation, Emory.
It helps that like 8 of these commitments I have like no fear of losing because they're actually signed.
Yeah, exactly. So,
but yeah.
Boom. Alrighty, so that was it. This has been another episode of Sideline Judgments. We'll be back next week where we don't know what we'll be talking about. We'll decide. We got a lot of episode ideas in the bank.
You got some broader stuff.
Some broader stuff. Just that we eventually will be having an NFL draft episode. We got to do a bowl review episode. We still have our college football manifesto in the tank that we will be releasing as a special episode. We got to catch up on Gator basketball. We just finished watching Gator basketball game.
Yeah.
We got to catch up on some Gator basketball. Talk about why Chris Shields.
4-0 in the SEC.
Yeah, talk about that slump we had and how we're back on our game right now. Talk about how Chris Shields is the best point guard in the SEC. Also, gymnastics is coming up. We're going to do a little episode for those interested in that. Eventually, we're going to have a way too early top 25 episode. And we'll kind of decide what we want to do. We'll be back next week with a surprise for you guys, not knowing what we're going to do. But yeah, Tyler, it's nice to be back in person.
Oh,
it's
very nice when I talk
about
you.
Yeah, exactly. We don't have to kind of go through queues on Skype and deal with technical difficulties. It's nice to be in person again. This has been another episode of Sideline Judgment. My name is Sergio.
My name is Tyler.
And as always, we are not biased, but go Gators.
Go Gators.